Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Corinthians 10:13, and this is page 932 in your pew Bibles. No temptation has seized you that isn't common for people, but God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out so that you will be able to endure it. Oh, okay. God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world falls apart, when the mountains crumble into the center of the sea. It stops there? Oh, period.
So normally Bob prints out this scripture and brings it up here, so our liturgist has the to read. Unfortunately, I did not know that until this morning when I got here, and so it is not printed out. So thank you so much for, you have to make do sometimes, you know, you just got to work with what you got. But again, we were able to get through it. Now, this past Thursday, and it's coming Monday, they are my last classes of the semester at the University of San Diego. And so for those of you who don't know, I'm a theology professor at the University of San Diego. Now, I love my job. I'm very grateful to have a very, very good job. But quite honestly, when it gets this close to the end of the semester, both the students and the professors, we're all kind of ready for a break. We're kind of ready for the summer. In the last class of the semester, I always make a point of giving something of a last class speech, kind of a mini sermon about life. I tell my students that rather than about listening to the outside noise that is telling you to figure out what kind of career you should have and what you should be doing with your life, which is probably what your parents are telling you, rather than focusing on those often unhelpful questions, there's some place for them, but I don't necessarily believe they're always helpful, at least for college students. I tell them that the most important question in their life, in fact, I would say their quest in life, is to quiet themselves, to listen to the sound of the genuine in themselves, and to discern who they feel God has called them to be. Who are you? And who are you becoming? To me, this is life's great quest. Now, personally, when I look back on my own life, I kind of feel as though I should have always known I was called to be a pastor or a teacher of theology. You see, I was that weird kid who attended adult Sunday school even though I was just a teenager. I just really liked theology. I loved the Bible at a young age. I often even assessed my life and the circumstances of my life theologically, even again when I was a young child. And there are a few occasions when I tried to reason through this phrase that we are going to discuss this morning, this phrase that God won't give us any more than we can handle. And even when I was a young person, I felt as though this phrase didn't quite add up. It wasn't quite all the way consistent with what I felt my experience was. We have a little video clip that kind of talks about what happens when this truth gets taken to the extreme. I want to show that real quick. So we see this little video with Eric and Andy can take this phrase a little bit to the extreme, kind of humorously, you know, that God won't give you more you can handle, so you can handle a friend who's going to break some gift or something that you let them borrow. But often I find that this phrase is told to someone else, that we tell it to someone or we hear it, in those moments of trial, if you will. When I was 13 years old, my mother became ill, really sick. We didn't know what was wrong with her, and to make an extremely long story, I would say short-ish, it took just over 2 years for the doctors to diagnose her with lupus. Now, lupus, for those of you who don't know, is an autoimmune disease that causes her to get sick frequently because she's immune compromised, and she would have all sorts of other health problems in part because of her disease of lupus. Now, this was in the early 90s, and so they weren't really sure. They knew what lupus was, but it took a long time to diagnose it because it was early on in the, I guess I would say, knowledge of the disease in and of itself. And so for 2 years, my mother would be sick, and she would be in and out of the hospital, quite honestly almost dying on two occasions. Now, because my stepfather worked second shift, I was mostly responsible for taking care of my three little brothers and sisters. So I would do whatever little bit of cooking I could do, the cleaning, all those kinds of things that you would say a parent would normally do. This was kind of my responsibility because my father was at work. Now, I was blessed during this difficult time also because our church, Washington Heights United Methodist Church in Battle Creek, Michigan, they were there to help us during this difficult time. Members of the church would stop by the house to check on us. They would call and they would ask how we were doing. And my favorite was when they would stop by to bring us food, because you can imagine as a 14-year-old, I wasn't exactly probably the best cook. But it was during these interpersonal interactions with those who would stop by or those who would call, where on a few occasions someone would tell me that even though things looked bad and that things were really, in fact, quite hard, that everything was going to be okay because God wouldn't give us more than we can handle. Perhaps you've heard this phrase too. Maybe after a loved one passes away, someone tells you God won't give you more than you can handle. Maybe someone tells you after you lost a job, or perhaps you are divorced or separated from a spouse, or perhaps you're separated from your family, or maybe you're struggling just to balance all that life seems to demand of you in this moment. And in the midst of all of this, some very kind, very genuine, very loving person says to you, "It's okay. God won't give you more than you can handle." Now, when I hear this, I'm 14 and 15 years old approximately, right? 13 to 15. I have a sister who's going to be around the age of 12, a brother who is 7, and another brother who's 2. I'm going to school during the day. I'm coming home and trying to help them do their homework, trying to make sure there's something to eat. I'm staying up late to do my own homework. I'm trying to play sports during this time. I also have a part-time job because I essentially had to work because we just needed the money. And so I'm going through all these things. And so when someone would tell me that God would not give me more than I could handle, I would be thinking to myself, maybe God has overestimated how strong I am. Like, maybe God just is a little bit off with the strength that Christopher Carter actually has. I mean, I was really tired and drained, and I was really sad and depressed because my mother was sick, and all I could think was that this really just kind of sucks. I didn't think I was strong enough to make it through that difficult moment, those years in my life. Now, I want to be clear that when people told me this phrase when I was a young person, and I would submit that when people tell you this phrase today, it's often said out of love and concern for a dear friend or a loved one. They are trying to comfort you, and this comfort is a good and necessary thing, and it's an important part of being in community with one another. But I want to spend a few moments this morning, maybe help us discern another phrase we can say when we see someone going through a very difficult time. And I think we can actually pull that phrase out of the passage we read this morning in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says that no temptation has seized you that isn't common for people, but God is faithful. God won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out, so that you will be able to endure it. This passage doesn't say anything about God giving us anything, does it? It doesn't say anything about God giving us anything. Now, if we look at this passage in context, As I said, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and it's important for us to know that the Corinthian church would have been a predominantly Gentile church, not Jews who converted to Christianity, but Gentiles, people who practice other religious traditions, a congregation of new converts. It's also important to know that Corinth is a port city. It's a city that's on water. It's a thoroughfare. And because of this, all types of cultures and people from different cultures would have been there. All types of religious and cultural practices would have been taking place in that city. And because many of these practices would have been inconsistent and incompatible with what Paul would have considered to be appropriate Christian practice, namely, and he outlines it in that passage, verses 1 through 13, he identifies two in particular, idol worship and sexual immorality with temple prostitutes. He identifies those two. And because he's in a city with all these things happening, Paul, he wants to remind the Corinthian church that these types of practices are going to be around them. So they have to be weary of their just community. They have to be aware of what they're going to be in. He recognizes that it's going to be challenging for anyone who has recently converted to Christianity to stay faithful to the gospel in the midst of this kind of city and in the midst of these circumstances. That'll be challenging for anyone to become the person that God has called them to be. So as a means to encourage these new converts in verses 1 through 5, Paul reminds them of the journey and temptation of their ancestors. He reminds them of the ancient Israelites who journeyed from bondage in Egypt to the promised land. He reminds them of the way in which the Israelites were tempted during this journey and how many of them fell to temptation and were not able to make it to the land that God had promised them. And so in verse 11, he tells them that the exodus of the Israelites, it should be an example of the an example that while life may be challenging and difficult at times, it is possible to overcome temptation and get to the promised land, so to speak. And so this is when we get to verse 13, where he's reminding them that the temptations they're experiencing by being alive and living in Corinth, that it's common. Nothing is tempting them that isn't common for other people, because God is faithful. And God wants to allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. So, church, when we look at this passage in context and we think about it in relation to the half-truth that God won't give us more than we can handle, we can see that this passage is not about God giving us anything at all. As Pastor Bob noted a few weeks ago in a sermon about the half-truth that everything happens for a reason, we ought to be careful suggesting that God wills bad things to happen to God's own creation. I don't believe that God willed my mother to get sick. I don't believe that God willed my ancestors to be enslaved and then experience Jim and Jane Crow segregation. I don't believe that God has willed women to experience sexism and patriarchy. I don't believe God has willed the homophobia that we see in our country and the homophobia that we see in our own United Methodist denomination. I believe that God is a God of love. And if I believe that God is a God of love, it would be inconsistent for me to believe that God wills acts of evil and suffering, because I believe God is faithful. And so rather than God willing or giving us something to endure, what this passage does speak to is the fact that in our lives, there will be moments when we will be tempted to stray away from the teachings that we know to be true. There will be moments when we are tempted to stray away from the sound of the genuine in ourselves. There will be moments when we are encouraged to do something or to not do something. There will be moments when we are encouraged to believe something that is inconsistent with the teachings of the gospel, where Jesus tells us in Matthew 25 that we are to feed the hungry, quench the thirst of those who are thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to clothe the naked, and to care for the sick and those who are in prisons. There will be moments we are tempted to not do those things. And in those moments when our faith is being tested, God will be there with us, reminding us that whatever we do to the least of these, we do unto God. God will be there reminding us that we are to see the suffering of other peoples as God's suffering. But also there will be moments when we are tempted to stray away from the teachings we know to be true, tempted to stray away from the sound of the genuine inside of us, because we may be suffering from some kind of deep woundedness. Perhaps we are so hurt or so angry or so depressed that we can't see a way out of our own suffering. It's kind of engulfed us, if you will. This passage reminds us that even in, and I would say in my own experience, especially in those moments, God is faithful and God is with us. We see this in the life of Jesus. God is with Jesus during his temptation in the desert and in his moments of frustration and pain with his own disciples or with his own people or with the occupying Roman government. Jesus calls out to a God who listens, a God who comforts, a God who journeys with him until the end, because God is faithful. And so, church, I submit to you that the good news of this passage isn't the idea that God won't give us more than we can handle. The good news of this passage and the whole truth is that in the midst of life's most difficult circumstances, God is faithful and God is with us. God will help us handle all that comes our way. This is the whole truth, that God will help us handle all that comes our way. As the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world seems to be falling apart. And we all have had moments and we feel as though our worlds are falling apart, when we can't seem to make sense of what is going on. God is there with us to help make sense of the world, to help us handle all that comes our way. When my mother was sick, God was there, not only in a spiritual sense in comforting me, but also in the actions of the medical staff, the doctors, the nurses, and those people, and the members of my church who came to take the time to take care of my family in this most difficult and tragic circumstance. There have been times in my life when I know I have struggled, whether it be in my relationship with my wife or my family, or I've struggled in school or with my job. And it is in those moments where I have to remember to quiet myself and listen to the sound of the genuine in myself, that sound that rings to the truest sense of myself that I know. And when I do this, I know that God has been with me during these difficult moments in my life. I have felt God's presence both internally and through the healing and compassionate love of my friends and my family members. Perhaps you've experienced this as well. Moments of grief and anxiety, moments of both stress and pain. And yet in the midst of all this, you made it through. You made a way out of no way, and you sit here today. You overcame an obstacle you had no idea if you would be able to make it through. And yet you are here. In this sacred space. And so I invite you to remember those moments. Remember what it felt like when you finally made it over, when you finally were able to overcome that obstacle or just get through that particular time in your life, when you were finally able to feel like your old self again. I truly believe that God was there with you, and that God journeyed beside you. So rather than the half-truth, I invite us this morning to focus on the whole truth. I invite us to live into and embody and own the whole truth that God is faithful, that God is always with us, and that God will help us handle all that comes our way. Or as my grandmother and so many of the women in my family have been often known to say, is that even though weeping may endure through the night, joy comes in the morning, because God is faithful and God is with us. Amen? Amen. Amen. I invite you to join me and be an attitude of prayer. Most gracious and most loving God, God who is our rock, God who has always been faithful. Lord, we come before you this morning so very honored and blessed to be in this space. So very grateful to be gathered in this sacred space, Lord, worshiping your name. Lord, so very grateful to be gathered on this Mother's Day as we are mindful of all those women who have been involved in our lives. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their sacred wisdom, and we thank you that you have encouraged them, Lord, to pour some of that wisdom into us. And Lord, we ask that you would enable us to continue to discern, to continue to listen, to absorb those teachings from the angels you have placed among us. And yet, Lord, we recognize that there are times and moments in our lives where we have fallen short, where we perhaps haven't listened to the advice, Lord, the heeding of someone you have placed in our lives, or perhaps where we have done something against what we know to be true, something against the gospel teachings of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And Lord, we come before you now confessing this and asking for your forgiveness, asking, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen us, that we may be able to listen to the sound of the genuine in ourselves, Lord, the spirit you have placed inside of us, that we may be able to discern, Lord, and live according to the ways in which you have called us to live. And Lord, we just thank you for this guiding spirit that you have placed inside of us. And Lord, lastly, we ask that you would just keep us mindful of the teachings of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.